Shed Some Light, episode 237, coming to you on a Tuesday. Michael and Jack are back. Notre Dame football has the game in the books.
And they are also back.
Probably a shorter, very Notre Dame-focused episode today, so if you don't care about that, I'm not sure why you're listening or why you've been listening for the last 236 episodes, but hey, it is what it is. It's college football season.
It officially is.
Although I don't know if I can necessarily deem it college football season.
Oh, it's been deemed.
Until Labor Day.
No, deemed.
Because Labor Day is like the deeming end of summer, and that's when you transition from summer to football.
Okay, well, so there's two ways you can look at this. Football season.
Football is a lifestyle.
No. So, like, there is football. Right now, it is football season.
Correct.
Because college football has been played.
Yes.
Football season doesn't start until, like, mid to late September.
This is, well, I don't know.
Like, when you wake up and there's a brisk, not cold, brisk breeze, then it is football season.
It's, you can smell the crispness in the air.
Yeah. Like a little dew on the ground type of, like, okay, we're
here. I still like the warm weather college football games, like, now. I just think that before Labor Day, it's kind of like your appetizer to the main course. You have a main course that's being served basically from September through January.
Yes. But, like, it's kind of like right now is, and obviously because it's the start of both seasons, but, like, early April baseball. Late April baseball, where it's just like, okay, I'm glad that baseball is back, but it's not the real baseball that I care about, you know? Like, baseball season doesn't start till like, the dog days of summer,
yeah,
when it's, like, set 80, 90 degrees out, and you're like, all right, now it's baseball season, you know? So, but technically, football is officially back.
Yes, it is. Notre Dame, 1-0, after a very successful trip overseas to Dublin, Ireland, to beat
Dublin,
the Navy midshipmen. Before we jump into the game itself, Jack, how was your Dublin experience?
Oh, fantastic. It was like one of those ones where, like, could things like the weather have been better? Yes. But would I have wanted it any other way? No.
I felt like it was very encompassing,
yeah,
of when you picture Ireland.
This is exactly what it is.
It's kind of like cold-ish.
Overcast with a slight breeze and rains for about 3 minutes every hour.
It was pretty funny because we went to church on Saturday before the game, and during the span of an hour-long mass,
it rained four times.
It was sunny enough and warm enough that I was like kind of sweating when mass started, and then it got super cold and rainy, and then it went back to sunny, and then it rained again. Like I said, that was all within the span of an hour-long mass. And the mass was outside, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that encapsulates Ireland.
Yep.
And it's exactly what I thought it was going to be in the sense of like the weather. And then the atmosphere, you just put South Bend in Dublin. It was an Irish version of like New Orleans or Bourbon Street in New Orleans,
mm-hmm,
which is pretty much exactly what I thought Dublin would be. I would be very interested to go there on a time that's not a Notre Dame game.
Right. It was pretty funny because, like, walking down the main street of bars, it felt like I just turned and looked into every bar, and I'd be like, oh, there's that
so-and-so,
person.
Yeah.
Oh, there's that person. So it would be very interesting to go back and experience it, not when half of South Bend and all of the – or a bunch of Notre Dame people are there.
And I would like to experience the bars when it's not like it very much every bar felt like a college bar where you were just like kind of pushing people to get to the front so that you could get a drink. Like you're having to like yell to the bartender. Like I would very much like to see if those bars that were, you know, packed when we were there are still packed when it's not. Like I'm assuming that they're busy. But I'm also assuming that it's not as busy as what it was there, obviously.
Some crazy statistical numbers. Basically, 40,000 Americans traveled.
Set a world record. I was part of a world record.
Yep. So put that on your resume.
World record holder.
Congratulations.
I might put that in my Twitter bio.
Yeah.
World record holder.
And I also saw due to that game weekend, there was the hit on the Dublin economy. Basically, that game itself brought in $159 million to Dublin.
That doesn't surprise me. Did you think that number was higher or lower than what you were expecting?
This is
real quick, though. Sorry to kind of ask a question and then cut you off. But this is very much one of those things where, like, I'm not good with estimating stuff. Because, like, that's a fuck ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
You also could have told me that that did, like, $500 million, and I would have been like, that makes sense, too.
I would say that that's probably slightly higher than what I was expecting.
You're thinking, like, 100 mil? Just, like, flat 100
mil? I was thinking probably, like, low hundreds. $159 million in basically 4 days is insane.
Yeah. The only gripe that I have with Ireland, and it's kind of just with, I don't know if this is with all of Europe or I guess most of Europe, fucking figure out the air conditioning, dude. Fucking blast
they
that
just,
shit.
Don't
it's so
it.
Goddamn hot, dude. And that seriously is my only gripe with it, because, like, especially with the weather the way it was, you're wearing, like, pants and, like, a sweatshirt. And then you go into a bar, and you're just, like, sweating your nuts off immediately. And so it's like, okay, like, take the sweatshirt off, take the hat off, take whatever off. Like, I'm literally going to start dying of fucking heat exhaustion inside of a bar. But then outside, it's like, oh, it's cold. Put it out, everything back on.
I mean, I do appreciate all of the just open windows at the
sure.
bars, but still, it wasn't enough.
You know what was kind of crazy to me? And maybe, again, I'm stupid for this. Not a lot of bugs for all the open windows. Didn't see a lot of, like, flies or anything.
I think it's because of their, like, temperature range.
Flies don't like it there?
I don't really know. But, like, you know how mosquitoes die in the winter?
Mm-hmm.
I think, again, just a guess, that it's, like, moderate enough that they don't really thrive in that environment.
Maybe the Irish people, like, killed a fly and then, like, put it out, for example. Like, put it out in the town square, so then all the other flies were like, shit, we gotta move out of here.
The brick streets?
Yeah.
Were pretty sweet. All in all, great experience.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. And is the... talking about the bars again, I feel like there was maybe only, like, one bar that we went to that I, like, truly... when I walked into it, was like, this is an Irish pub.
There were...
two, maybe.
For sure two.
Well, and some would be different if it wasn't packed. So, like, for example, one that I didn't consider a quote-unquote Irish bar that I feel like is was Temple Bar.
Oh, I would put that... I would make mine then 2.5. I would consider that one like half.
Yeah, so I think that if I went there and it wasn't,
yeah,
like, busy with Notre Dame fans, then it would be.
Yeah.
The only one that I really felt like I got the full vibe of, like, an Irish bar was Tom Kennedy's.
Was that the hat place?
No. That was... we had lunch there. It had the dartboard up on the stage.
Oh!
Like, walked in there,
the
it was
least
just...
the crowded one that
yeah,
we were at the
yes.
whole time.
And that's probably why yeah. I thought it was. But, like, walked in there, it was like, there was fucking horse racing on the TV.
Yeah.
Like, quiet, a little bit of music, one strip, couple of beers, couple of items on the menu, that was it, had been there for years.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
The place that we got hats at,
yeah.
I would put up there, and, oh, shoot, what was the other one? Oh, the place that we walked to on our way to the stadium. Again,
oh.
Very crowded, but
yes.
That one was definitely...
Yeah.
I forget the name of that place.
I know what you're talking about. I like that one just because I don't know if you noticed at the front bar, it had, like, the dividers.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forget the name of it, though. Fuck. Why did I want to say it starts with, like, an L? Like,
yeah,
lunges.
Couldn't tell
something
you.
Like
I
that.
Don't remember.
But it was fun. And then the game.
The game itself.
Do you want to break it down real quick? I want to get a grade to each position.
Okay.
Okay, do you want to start? Well, so, real quick, little recap, 42-3.
Yep.
Beat down. I don't want to get like too excited it was Navy.
That's my first note in what I want to talk about here. Don't overreact. It's only one game.
Yes.
However, let's carry on.
Yeah. So first grade, I want to give to somebody who didn't play and maybe didn't travel with the team to Mishawaka New Prairie grad, Chase Kettering. Shout out for getting the boys ready. Did a fantastic job because they didn't give up a touchdown.
Yep.
Didn't give up the big play. So A+. A+ to him for getting the boys ready. That's the first one out the bat. Do you want to start with offense or defense?
Are we going positions?
Position groups.
Groups, yeah. Okay. Let's go, 42 points. You got to start with the offense.
Okay. Running backs.
B+.
I was going to go A-.
Really, the only knock was Estime's fumble.
Yeah.
Which and then wasn't did you even see, a turnover.
Yeah. Did you see today what Freeman said about it?
Mm-mm.
That he was benched.
Oh, yeah.
Because of it.
Yeah.
Which I love. Because, one, he said, like, it shows you that, you know, I don't think he said it, but, like, the standard is the standard.
Yeah.
You know, if you fumble, you're going to get benched for a little bit. Two, and again, it's Navy, so take it with a grain of salt, but, like, I love that he's confident enough in the other backs to be like, I'll bench my best back and I'm still okay.
I need to fact check this, but I believe every scholarship running back
got the ball,
had at least one carry.
Yeah.
And two, shout out to Audric for being able to bounce back from that, because it basically didn't affect him the entire rest of the game. He knew that ball shouldn't have come out. It did.
And I also want to give everybody talks about the fumble and like Audric fumbled. He pinballed off, what, like 9 dudes in that play?
Yeah.
He was just like running people over. So I'll give him like an A-.
Yep.
Quarterback, fucking A+.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not much to say. Again, it's Navy. But what was he, 19 for 23 or whatever his stat line was?
Something like that, yeah.
Four touchdowns?
Yep.
You can't.
It was so cool to see that offense with a veteran quarterback that just knows what's going on.
Yeah.
And there were blatant times, too, where, like, even being up in the stands, you could see Hartman just reading through the progressions. Or, like, there was one time where I don't remember. I want to say it was in the first half. He could have taken a shot to the corner of the end zone, and he pump faked that way and then turned, tucked the ball, and ran to the other side of the field for a quick check down. Like, there was just a lot of veteran moves that, like I said, it was really cool to see, and I really appreciate, because we haven't had a quarterback like
that. A veteran quarterback like that.
Yeah, right.
And it was also one of those things where it never felt like he was trying to do too much. Like, it never felt like he was like, okay, time to look for the long ball, or like, time to make a play. Mm-hmm. It was always just like, I'm just going to go out there and surgically destroy this defense every single time. And that's all that matters. And like, when a guy's not trying to make that big play, even though you always love to see like the deep ball, it's so much more like clinical and fun to watch when it's just like, you know, 12-yard pass, 15-yard pass, 8-yard pass, 9-yard pass, 12-yard pass, and it's just like bang, bang, bang. Like, everybody's clicking. Like, so, so nice to see.
It was cool, too, because there were definitely a couple times where Hartman called out coverage at the line, and because of the way that he's able to read the defense, he can basically account for an extra rusher himself, as opposed to having to bring a back in for that block, because he knows where the pressure is coming and he's going to roll in the opposite direction, which frees up one more weapon that he can then attack in the pass or run game.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool stuff.
So A+ to Sam Hartman. O-line.
I would say A.
I was going to say A as well. The only knock, I guess, on them that I have, I mean, they average, what, seven? We average 7 yards a carry?
Yeah.
So, I mean, first of all, fantastic. I want to give a shout-out to, I think technically junior by grade, sophomore by eligibility, Chicagoland native Pat Coogan. Just working people all game.
So glad he got the start.
He was a dude where I kept being like, Who's 78? Oh, Pat Coogan. Like, he was just running people over left and right. Mm-hmm. The only knock on them I have, and it goes into the fact of, I can't get too excited because it's Navy. There were definitely plays, like, I'm not sure if it was the O-line not picking up the block or the running backs not picking up the block, but, like, you had, like, a linebacker or a safety blitz, and there was just a wide-open hole, and if it, like, wasn't Navy, it's probably a sack.
Yeah.
But it was. So, like, giving them room to improve, like, A-minus area. But, like, I mean, for the most part, they were insanely physically dominant, which I know, again, I know it's Navy. I keep saying it a lot. But I feel like we always have problems with, like, Navy's D-line. Like, they're, like, very, like, quick and agile, and we fucking just bully-balled them. So, I'll give them an A-minus, room to improve.
Yep.
But look good. Tight ends, just, like, a B. I don't, like, didn't really do much.
Yeah. I mean, nothing. almost a, like, no grade.
Yeah, like,
Mitchell Evans had a bad holding call.
I was gonna give him a C because I just thought they were average, but, like, a C makes it sound like they did something wrong. They didn't really do anything wrong.
And I can't give him an incomplete either. I would honestly just lean towards, like, no grade. Like, they were kind of there.
If it's a thumbs up or a thumbs down, it's a thumb in the middle for them. It's just like a fucking, I don't know, man. You kind of just, like... And it's weird to say that because I'm so used to having, like, a good tight end that is, like, very, like, prominent.
Right.
That I was, like, I guess it's not a testament to them that they didn't mess up, but, like, kind of that way that they didn't mess up, that, like, I didn't even realize there were tight ends on the field at some point.
Yeah.
Like, the entire game I didn't realize the tight ends were there. So, like, that's good that I didn't realize it in a bad way. I wish they would be more prevalent, and I'm wondering as the season goes on, and, you know, you start to play a little bit better teams that are pressing, you know, Tobias and Jaden Thomas and all them, like, is it going to have to be Mitchell Evans that, like, steps up?
Well, that's the other thing, too. Like, they didn't really need to do anything.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So it's like, yeah, nothing, I guess. Wide receivers?
A minus.
I give them an A.
I mean, there's always room for improvement. They were good.
Yeah. But again, like, I didn't think they...
There's no real fault that I could give
them. Yeah, that's why I gave them an A, was because, like, they technically didn't mess up at all. But there is, like, room for improvement.
Yeah.
And it's Navy.
Yep.
We should get an It's Navy counter this episode. No disrespect to Navy. But, like,
no, thank you for your service.
Yeah, but, like, not the best at football. It's tough.
Well, we're still on the offensive side of the ball.
Shout out to Jaden Greathouse. Was that kind of surprising to you?
Yes and no. I wasn't expecting two touchdowns right off the bat as your first game as a freshman, but the kid just dominated Texas football. And when you can do that in Texas, like, it's way less of a harsh transition from high school to college.
Yeah. You know what was, like, the one thing that was, like, surprising, I guess, in a sense, to me about the wide receivers was, and again, I can't tell if this is a testament to Sam Hartman, a testament to Navy kind of trying to shut at least one guy off, but, like, didn't really see Tobias that much.
Yeah, he had a chance for a touchdown, and it was funny because Sam Hartman knew that it was on him. He kind of put just a little too much air under it and ran him out of the back of the end zone.
Yeah, like, again, I don't want to count that as, like, a knock towards him, but, like, I think Tobias is the most talented of the wide receiver group.
Nothing that I saw in the, I guess what you would say, lack of production concerns me moving forward.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's, I didn't mean it to come off like he's got to make those, like, more catches or whatever, but it was like, I felt like all camp was just like, dude, Tobias is, like, tearing it up. Like, he's fucking just smoking corners left and right. And then, like, first game, it was, like, Jaden Greathouse, Deion Colsey, Jaden Thomas, even Chris Tyree getting in there, too.
I was just about to go there. Chris Tyree in the slot was money. Really cool.
Yeah, he was fantastic. Don't know how I like this number switch, though. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think four is more of a wide receiver number, though.
Yeah.
So I kind of like it, but yeah. Also at the same time, like, I will say that Jaden Thomas has gotten, I mean, I've always been high on him, but, like, in terms of route running, he has gotten a lot better.
For sure. For sure. And before we leave the offensive side of the ball, Jared Parker called just a
fantastic game. Like, fantastic game.
It just seemed like everything that Navy's defense threw at Notre Dame's offense, Notre Dame had an answer for it.
Yeah.
Almost immediately.
Yeah. It was like a stall
your drive, then go back to the sidelines, look at some tape, try and figure it out. It was on the fly, like, this. We know this is coming, and this is how we're going to counter it, and it worked, like, 97% of the time.
Yeah. And this is something that I'll be interested in going into the Tennessee State game. Not that Tennessee State is any better than Navy at all, but Jared Parker's had the past 4 months to prepare for one game.
Right.
How fast can you adapt in a week?
Right.
So it's
2012, week two, I believe, was against Purdue. And after beating Navy, Notre Dame looked like a completely different football team week two.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, like I said, it was a fantastic game plan, top to bottom, this entire game. But now it is going to be how fast can you switch and get ready for Tennessee State.
Yep.
Again, I know they're not the greatest opponent, but still, I want to see, like it should be the exact same game, if not worse, against Tennessee State score-wise.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, if it's not that, not that I'm going to be like, we suck, but I'm going to be like, a little disappointing.
Yes, a 39-point victory, I think, I mean, as long as they come out and execute, should be your bare minimum.
Yeah, for sure. And the only reason I'm saying that it should be, like, the same score is because I think Sam Hartman's going to be taken out quicker.
Oh, there's going to be a lot more backups playing against
Fingers Texas crossed.
There should be.
Fingers crossed. There should be. But, yeah, and then I guess you can give Jared Parker an A+, too. So, shout out to the offense. Talk about the defense.
On the defensive side of the ball.
D-line?
A-.
Me too. I was going to go B+, A-.
Jordan Botello
looked fantastic. He got big.
Looks like an absolute monster.
I don't know if it was just like, maybe I just hadn't seen him a lot last year. Like, I know he was on, like, the punt block team, and then he had occasionally had, like, a couple snaps, but he wasn't, like, an every down type of guy. So I didn't see him a lot, but he looks like he got fucking huge.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Right.
I really like Riley Mills.
Yep.
I even thought Jean Baptiste, whatever his name is.
JJP.
Yeah.
Dante Jean Baptiste.
I thought he looked good.
Yeah.
Couple times. It's hard, too, with Navy, because it's like, I don't really understand, like, how good the D-line is, because, like, it's basically like, can you get your feet out of the way, because they're just going to chop block you all game?
Right, right.
But for the most part, I thought they looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
Linebackers?
A to A+.
Me too. I thought they were fucking fantastic.
Marist
was a dog.
Marist and JD.
Yeah. I love, again, love JD Bertrand. It's Navy. This is like, I don't want to say it's going to be all downhill from here, but this is like J.D. Bertrand's like wet dream. A team that only runs the ball, he's like, fuck yeah, dude.
I was more impressed with Marist's performance than I was J.D.'s, even though they both played great, because this is not a game that Marist should have played well against.
Yeah.
He's kind of your, like, make athletic plays in space, and every single time that he was involved in a play, it was like him following the discipline of the scheme that the defense was running, mm-hmm. and just being in the right spot at the right time, which is not like the Marist that we've seen in the past.
Yeah, yeah. It felt like he had, like, the discipline of, it was like if you combine, like, I'll give you a real throwback here, like Joe Schmidt, like his brain mm-hmm. with like Jalen Smith is like athleticism.
Yeah.
Where like he knew where he needed to be, and like a lot of times like Jalen would make plays where he's like, he might have been out of position to start, but he's so damn athletic that it was like it didn't matter. But then like Joe Schmidt was always in the right spot. And so it was like a mix of both. Yeah. Like he never had to make a play where he was like, ah, shit, I fucked up. I got to go make this play because I'm athletic. It was just like, I'm in the right spot. I'm athletic enough to make this play. This is what I'm going
to
do.
I want to see him continue down that trajectory moving forward. I'm also very interested to see J.D. Bertrand throughout the rest of the season because, like, I don't know, again, if it was Navy or if there was some, like, off-season work that was done. But, like, I remember multiple episodes last season that I probably stated somewhere along the lines of J.D. Bertrand runs like he has cement blocks in his shoes, and he didn't look that slow. There were a couple plays where he chased down the running back from behind, and I was like, okay.
Okay, J.D. getting fast.
So
that's what I'm saying. Like, again, this was J.D. Bertrand's wet dream, a team that only runs the ball. So, like, I don't want to be like, J.D. Bertrand looks fucking awesome.
But he looked really good.
But he did look good. Somebody that didn't play, but maybe he'll get some playing time later in the year, that I just want to give a shout-out to linebacker-wise, Drake Bowen. Keep wearing those fucking armbands. You look like a dog.
I'm so glad that he didn't play.
Why?
Because I don't know exactly what their plan is for potentially redshirting him, but I can.
Well, he was on the kickoff team.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, he played. Ah,
dang it.
He played.
Never mind. I don't want.
How many games do you have to play?
Four.
And okay, you still got time.
He's going to get two out in the first 2 weeks.
Still got time.
Got to be careful with your eligibility these days.
Mm-hmm.
Corners and safeties, like C minus.
Yeah.
DJ Brown, as a six-year, just looked like he was running out of control.
So they had the biggest, like, roller coaster of a game for me, where, like, there were times where I was like, holy shit, like, if that's a good team, that's probably a touchdown. But then there were also times where, like, Jaden Mickey had at least two plays that I remember that I was like, he sat on the edge and did exactly what he was supposed to do, where it was like, I feel like, you know, like, in the past couple of years, like, when they're running that option to your side, and I watched, like, Jaden Mickey sit there, and he was like, I'm going to sit on, you know, either the quarterback or the running back because I know I have a guy coming from this side. So if I sit on the quarterback, this guy's going to get the running back, or if I sit on the running back, this guy's going to get the quarterback. That I feel like in the past couple of years, our corners have just been like, oh, ball's coming towards me, I'm running at this guy. And they fuck up, and that's when you get, like, those big gains where, like, Jaden Mickey and BMO a couple times sat and were like, hey, I'm just going to wait for this play to develop. I'm not going to make a flashy play. And I was like, damn, like, that's really impressive for them.
Navy avoided Benjamin Morrison like the plague.
Yeah, dude, like, I'm going to go the even opposite look way
at his side of the field. But there were for sure two, if not more times, where we had corners or safeties fall down that Navy should have had another 14 points at least.
I will say, though, that's also like the field.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you remember on Jaden Greathouse's first touchdown. I mean, the motherfucker slid from the front of the end zone through the back of the end zone.
Well, even Audric did that on one of his first drive runs. He got tackled and then just Superman slid like 5 yards.
Like I don't think that was like, I don't want to be like the safeties fell down and blame it on the safeties per se.
Yeah.
But yeah, there were a couple plays like the one fourth down that they went for, they're like, if that's a good team, that's probably at least it's definitely a catch, if not a touchdown.
Right, right.
So I do think there are room to improve. I also think, like, it's so weird because when you are playing Navy, obviously your D-line and your linebackers are probably your most important,
mm-hmm.
but it's such a weird dynamic to play corner or safety against Navy. Because it's like 99% of the time, you're like you shouldn't, if your middle, if your linebackers and your D line is doing their job, you shouldn't really have to do anything.
All you have to do is not get caught sleeping.
Yeah. But then it's like, you know, like you're playing a long game. Like it's hard to be like locked in every play, and right. then every play be like, all right, this guy's just blocking me for the 50th time in
yeah.
a row.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit. So like, I don't want to give them the free pass and like be like anything that they fucked up on is like okay.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to be like they stink. They made a bunch of mistakes. So it's like, nah, I'll B minus.
I saw this, which was crazy. Navy only had 12 first downs in the entire game, and 4 of them came on the last drive against backups.
That doesn't surprise me. If we're talking grades as a defense, in terms of what Navy has done to us in previous years, that was an A-plus defensive game.
Yeah.
In terms of what Navy has done to Notre Dame in the past couple of years. Like, they always give us trouble. Like, no matter what, no matter how good our fucking defense is, no matter what athletes we have, they at least score a touchdown. At the bare minimum, they've scored a touchdown against us. I feel like every single year since I've been alive. I don't remember the last time we played Navy and shut them out, touchdown-wise. You know?
Yeah.
So, like, I got to give them an A-plus defense.
Yeah.
Again, you see, now the question is, how fast can you pivot from
right.
what you have just done for the past 2 months and move on to something else?
I don't know a whole bunch about Tennessee State, but I want to say that they're like a spread offense, which is just like...
Could not be more opposite. You scheduled the two worst teams to play back-to-back.
Yeah, yeah. So that'll be very interesting. But all in all, great first game from Notre Dame.
Yeah, I just want them to not have...
The hangover game. Yeah.
And it's almost, it's good and bad playing Tennessee State second, because like it's good in the sense of like worst case scenario and you have a hangover game, I still think you can beat Tennessee State.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also bad because it's like, I don't want us to be like, oh, we're playing Tennessee State, who cares?
Right, right.
Like, I want them to still be, like, lock the fuck in and be like, we're playing a good team. We need to fucking do something about this.
We will find out a lot more about this team next week, just based on how they come out and mentality-wise, focus, discipline, all that kind of stuff. Like,
yeah. So I think the game that will tell the most about this team is NC State Week 3. I think that will be the game. That, like, if you go to NC State and you fucking dominate, then I'm like, I'm ready to run through a brick wall. Like, I'm like, damn, if they dominate NC State Week 3, I'll be like, we are legit.
Yeah.
But that's going to be the game where it's like two easier opponents on the first two games. Now you're on the road against a tough opponent. How do you deal with that? That I'll be like, all right, this is either like team I like or like, all right, you know, still got a lot of improvement to do.
Right. Fair enough. Let me see here. Do I have any other notes? Still not a perfect game, but hey, we'll get there.
It was damn near a perfect game. That's the closest I've seen Notre Dame play to a perfect game in a long time.
They were abnormally sharp for week one.
Yes.
When you look at USC, they remind me of like an old school Charlie Weiss type team. Like, they got a lot of talent on offense. They're not, like, super disciplined, and their defense is just whack.
Yeah, I mean, you're giving up 28 to San Jose State.
Yeah. Again, it's just week one. You expect these teams to come out rusty. I get it, but if they're still having those problems a couple weeks into the season,
I get it. They're going to come out rusty. 28 to San Jose State is rough. They put up 56, so it's exactly what you'd expect them to do.
Right.
But 28 to San Jose State. Not good.
All right, well, that's all I got sports-wise. I have one dumb thought.
I got one more thing sports-wise.
Okay.
Shout-out to the United States of America on winning the Little League World Series. Woo-hoo. On a walk-off home run.
Nice.
In the bottom of the ninth. Against? I mean, that's literally what every kid dreams of.
Against?
Curacao.
Oh, nice.
By the way, not given enough credit, Curacao hit a game-tying grand slam in the fifth.
Oh!
Which, like...
That's legit.
That's fucking awesome, too. So, like, shout-out to that kid who hit that one. And then it went 5-5, tie game from the fifth all the way to the ninth. And then this one kid who fucking... They said he's 12 years old. I don't know if he is. He had to be like 6'1". Just fucking, they threw a meatball down the middle. This kid pimped a walk-off home run, which is sick. Also, love the fact that we just like rig the Little League World Series in favor of the United States. Like, we are just like, we always get a team in the championship. Love it.
Got to do what you got
to
do.
Like, not only do you have to be the best in your country, you also have to be the best in the world to make it on the other side of that bracket. We're just like, yeah, fuck it. We get one team automatically. Domination, baby. Shout out to USA, baby.
So I have come to realize, now that we're moving out of our sports talk here, that that mustaches are kind of like Notre Dame. People love them or hate them, and there's really no in-between. It's funny because I, as a fellow current mustache wearer, I got a lot of compliments well overseas. Like, even one of the bartenders, like, I was up there ordering drinks, and he, like, dapped me up. He goes, "Love the stash." I'm like, "Yeah, thanks, dude." And then the other day I was in the office, and this lady goes, "So what's up with the young people and having mustaches again?" And I was like, "Oh, you know, like... I'm rocking it. I'm like, I'm growing it out for my buddy's wedding. He asked all of us that are in the wedding to have a mustache." She was like, "Well, when's the wedding?" I was like, "Oh, you know, it's not for a little bit." And she goes, "Well, I hope you cut it off when the wedding is over."
Dude, that needs to be talked about more. That statement right there. Why is that okay to say? Like, imagine it. Okay, right? Imagine if you went up to a female and were like, "Oh, did you get a nice haircut?" And then they're like, "Yeah, I did. I went a little bit shorter." And you were just like, "Wish you wouldn't have," and then walked away.
I hope, like, they'd be like,
"What the fuck?" Like, that's insane for somebody to say and just be like, "That's an okay statement for me to make to somebody." Like, "Hey, see this thing you're doing with your face? Fucking stop doing that." It is wild.
I don't know. I like it. I'm a fan.
I've said this before. I can't grow a mustache. I wish I could.
Have you ever tried, though?
Yeah, it just, like, it just stops growing at a certain point. Like, it doesn't get thick enough to, like, actually be a mustache. Like, I'm in between, like, it gets to the point where it's like you can see that there's hair there, but it's not, like, thick enough to be a mustache, but it's also not, like, thin enough that it's like, "Oh, you just started going through puberty."
Mine also comes in a lot lighter than the hair on my head. So I'm working with my hairstylist on what I can do to dye it.
I think you just let it rock. It's a good color.
I wish it was a little bit darker, a little more prominent.
I don't see. Okay, so I'm just staring at your lips right now. It's kind of weird. I don't think that the issue is so much the mustache. I think it's the other facial hair.
Well, that's just because I haven't shaved
this. I know. But, like, with the other facial hair, you can be like, "Oh, it's not that dark." But when you're, like, clean shaven everywhere else,
then it pops.
Yeah, then it really pops. Because, so, like, when I'm looking at you right now and you haven't shaved, I'm looking at all your facial hair. When you're clean shaven, I only got one thing to look at, and it's your mustache. So I think that is more so the issue.
You best believe that when the time comes, I'll be clean shaven.
Oh, of course. Of course. But I just think if you stay clean shaven.
Yeah.
Which sucks because you got to shave a lot then.
Yeah.
But makes it really pop.
What else you got?
I think that's it.
That's it? Well, that wasn't that short.
A lot of Notre Dame football.
Yeah. All right, well, that, folks, is where we are wrapping up Shed Some Light episode, I think this was, what did I say, 237?
Mm-hmm.
237. We will be back sometime in the future with our next episode, probably after the next Notre Dame football game. That's my guess. So if you made it this far, thank you very, very much for listening. Take some time, give us a 5-star rating and review. Tell your friends, family, coworkers, anyone that you come across to listen to Shed Some Light. And in the meantime,
keep them cold.
Keep them cold, everyone.